Welcome to the wrestling podcast that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on the Two Finger Guns Club Network. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. I've got a pair of guests joining me who are as passionate about beer as I am about wrestling. They've been writing and podcasting about craft beer for years. Between the two of them, they have written beer columns for staples in Toronto media, as well as their own books on the subject, all in the spirit of preaching good beer. Robin LeBlanc and Jordan St. John, the co-hosts of the Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the podcast, join me on today's episode. We're going to, of course, be enjoying a pro wrestling watch-alongs, and we're going to be watching something that's freely available on YouTube. So why don't you head over to YouTube? I'm going to let you know what match we're going to be watching. You can watch it while you listen to this podcast. Please stay tuned. We're going to be back after these short messages.
Hello, hello, ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between. This is your Rocket Man speaking. Connor Speak, flying back in to let you guys know that Rocket Man Explores Season 2 is on its way. This particular season, we're going to be looking at the subject of artificial intelligence, one of the many world-ending scenarios that is eventually going to creep up on us once the plague has finally had its way, so we might as well start talking about it now before an army of Arnold Schwarzeneggers takes us all down. If you want to get the scoop of when everything's coming out, please follow us on Twitter at RocketManTFGC. Join us. I hope to see you there. It's going to be a good time.
And we are back. Joining me from Toronto, I am thrilled to welcome today's guest. Between the two of them, I could have a whole litany of credits I could use to introduce them, but suffice it to say, they are the co-authors of the Ontario Craft Beer Guide and co-hosts of the podcast of the very same name. Robin LeBlanc, Jordan St. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be here. Thank you.
You know, I am the advocate for Robin LeBlanc, and I can tell you that she is the reigning, defending, and conquering, well, one half of the tag team champions.
And Jordan's a great guy.
That's exactly how I imagine the dynamic between Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Yeah, Paul's a great guy. Absolutely.
The problem is Robin's a natural babyface, so it's...
How you guys doing today?
Oh, not too bad, I think, like considering all of the insanity that's going on in the world, but
naturally
we continue. We're good.
Yeah. Damn, I'd love to live in a year where we didn't have to preface every time we answer a question like that with, you know, with all the madness going on in the world.
Yeah. I'm part English, so I mean I'm used to saying, you know, all things considering. You know, all things considered, I'm okay. But yeah.
It's so bizarre that like something so grand a scale as a pandemic has become small talk, you know, just chit chat. You know, I'm holding up. Global pandemic. Society has like slowed down to a blinding halt. But, you know, keep on carrying on.
I'm not dead. That's, you know, good. That's
good. It's a low bar. Like, it's a low bar these years.
Very low bar these days. Yeah.
But hey, we're here, we're enjoying a nice beer, we're recording a podcast. You know, things could certainly be worse. I mean, like, you guys are covering like a very specific scene in this whole like volatile year. Like, how is the Ontario beer industry, like, how is it persevering or handling this pandemic?
It's actually been growing.
It's shocking. It shouldn't be working, but it is.
Yeah, it's been surviving and thriving. Like someone who just turned 30, it's really cool. So it turns out that like when all this was going on, essentially their local businesses and a lot of them are, you know, a lot of breweries are involved with the community, and it turns out the community just wants to help. I mean, especially over here, like especially within the first year, you just see people shop local because they just want to support their neighborhood. And that was a very big driving force for it.
Yeah, it's weird. One of the only problems that you have is that because people are buying local, it becomes really important to the brewery to have novelty. So they're always producing new stuff all the time. Like there's new beer every couple of weeks. There's a lot of pressure from that perspective. But from a sales perspective, everybody seems to be doing pretty well. I'm a little surprised by that. Originally, we thought there were going to be closures, there were going to be some failures, but for the most part, the places that have closed have been purchased by other breweries who wanted a second location, which is just so weird. The only one that I can think of size that closed in Ontario was Big Rock, and they're from Alberta.
Yeah, and so that was just more of like closing their facility, you know, and yeah.
Yeah, man.
But they're still persevering as a business, like just from Alberta.
Oh, sure. Yeah
absolutely.
They're fine.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like it's nice to know that like it's not all doom and gloom, and it's nice to know that some industries like beer, like the beer industry, happen to be thriving. I mean, like I'm not saying like I've overindulged, but I've certainly probably drank a little bit more than I would habitually do on my own during this pandemic.
Well, I mean, yeah, it turns out that you know, when faced with a horrifying pandemic in which, you know, we're all dealing with a lot of anxiety, people want to drink. So there's that, but also like, you know, limiting times going out and stuff like that. So you're less inclined to pick up a six pack for the weekend and more inclined to get like a case that'll last you a while. So
yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, one of the things that will happen eventually is that pubs will reopen and people will realize that maybe paying $10 a pint, you know, tax and tip in, maybe not even like that might be low, honestly. That might not be the best way to spend your money. Maybe you want to sit at home on your nice balcony with your beer that you chose and which is just in your fridge and cost less money. But we'll see what happens with that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think something that's helped too, just in terms of exploration, is, you know, delivery became an option. Direct straight from the breweries. So we've been getting a lot of mail order stuff. We've been getting a lot of like local brewery deliveries. It's really been an interesting time.
I read like a headline. I didn't really delve into the article because it wasn't really local or relevant, but I came across a headline that just kind of made me chuckle that in the UK, they're saying that when the pubs reopen, to save the pubs, every Londoner has to drink 108 pints. Where do you stand on this quirky little headline?
Just here above the liver. 108 pints isn't that much. I mean, you could do, if it was cask ale, I guess you could do 6 pints at a session, don't you think, Robin?
More than that, for sure.
Probably eight pints at a session if it's like 4%.
I'd say about 8 at 4%, where especially if you're talking to someone, having fun.
Okay, so that's like, 80 would be, that'd be 10 days of drinking, then 88, no, 96, 100. No, it's like this 2 weeks. 2 weeks drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't even hurt you that much. It's just fine. I mean.
Oh, wait a second. We tried over 1,000 beers for the book. How long did that take? Sure. So a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah.
That was some solid math and quick thinking math, if I do say so, Jordan.
Well, you know, I'm an OG. I'm a certified hustler, and you can't teach that.
He's normally horrible at math, but when it comes to beer, he's great.
I'm actually the only person who covers statistics in beer in Ontario. Yeah. I have an English degree. I shouldn't be good at math, but
when you first put Jordan and I in contact about Quizplex and everything, you kind of dropped some Steiner math on me. Jordan, can I put you on the spot? Can you recite the Steiner math promo by chance?
I don't think I can. In fact, I think I got the percentage wrong at the end. It's 146 and a third, isn't it? But I think I may have gone higher than that.
Yeah.
It was a triple threat match with Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, I think.
That you got right. Absolutely. Yeah. Just a legendary promo. Recently celebrated 13 years of being in the wrestling zeitgeist. Rarely do I get to answer this question as a professional question, but what are your friends drinking tonight?
Oh, well, I've got the Pivovar from Godspeed, which they were working actually directly with the Czech government on that. And it's actually the closest thing to, Pilsner or Kel that you can find. It's just great.
Okay. Jordan?
I went a little more obscure. I've got this thing from Brussels. This is a Taras Bulba from
Yeah, Dillis you would Adler. Go show man.
It's 4.5%, so you could probably get through 8 of them, I think. The great thing about it is, like, I teach a beer school in Toronto. I'm with a college called George Brown. They're one of the best culinary schools in Canada. And at the beginning of the pandemic, we had acquired quite a cellar of stuff. Like, we had acquired things that were going to be going bad. Like, the stuff just for everyday drinking. Beer is like a shelf life, you know? Mm-hmm. Craft beer might be 3 months or 6 months if it's really not that hoppy. So, you know, 12 months into the pandemic, you have to destroy everything. And they had this extra hoppy beer from Belgium. And I said, hey, man, could you put those 13 beers aside and not destroy them, please? Because I couldn't really bear that. That would just be very sad. I would be a sad panda. And they were very kind. They put it aside for me.
all that beer being destroyed. You did the right thing by rescuing a baker's dozen.
Well, I mean, I think they destroyed $1,000 worth of beer in the cellar, and I consulted on it, but I was just like, not those ones, not those ones.
That you're pretty knowledgeable about Ontario craft beer, of course. Let me just ask, asking from Montreal over here, what's your familiarity with the Quebec craft beer scene?
A lot of it is, I know that Robin spent some time in Montreal more recently than I have, but a lot of my experience with the Quebec beer scene is Mondial de la Bière in Montreal. Mm-hmm. I've also traveled around a little bit, but we had a bunch of Montreal-based beers imported into the Ontario market for a while, like maybe 12 years ago. There was Charlevoix, which is Fred and Caroline's brewery, Benelux, we had Hopfenstark, we had Du de Ciel, of course. True to Diable, and there were some other ones. I think Dunham was temporarily in the market. A lot of really good beer in Quebec. In fact, the market was vastly in advance of Ontario's for a long time, and I think we're just about equal now, but there's so much other, they do different things than we do, and literally a lot of people in Toronto, in the beer world, are sort of looking at Montreal as the first port of call once the border reopens interprovincially.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I did a soft introduction of my beer before we went on air, and I've taken a closer look at the label. La Ferme Brasserie Rurale. I'm sorry, my French is very weak for someone who've lived in Quebec their entire lives, but Brasserie Rurale, ringing any bells?
No, but that's the wonderful thing about it is that there are so many new breweries in Montreal, and there's so much good stuff that you could just walk into a good beer bar, maybe like Vice Versa up on the plateau. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's
around there. Yeah.
You could walk in there, you could order things you'd never seen before, and you'd be completely happy with them. It'd be just wonderful.
Well, and that's pretty much like where most of my context, Quebec beers comes in, where, I stayed there for about 2 months and there's only a handful of breweries that I could probably remember it, but I do remember going to so many places where I'm just looking at the menu, and it's one of the great joys of someone who writes about beer for a living is to go look at a menu and not recognize a single thing on there. It's a lot of fun. And because I remember going to, Vice Versa, Station Host, of course, the Hopfenstark place. What was that? What's that sort of David Lynch like one?
Oh, Brewpub Brouhaha.
Brouhaha, yeah.
Yeah,
Brouhaha,
like if David Lynch directed a brewpub.
Yeah, it's so good. I love it. I love it so much. And it just sort of more became about the experience of being there than specifically taking notes. So that said, Montreal really rocked the mild and bitter. On cask too, which was incredible because I've never really seen much call for that here in Ontario. And I think I was up, I was staying for a month up by Promenade Masson, and there was a brewery there called Le Succal. And I think I went through almost an entire cask of their bitter.
Sounds absolutely delicious. We're doing a little bit of a different thing on this particular episode of Smark and Friends. Usually it's pretty much just exclusively uninitiated wrestling fans who are joining us on the show.
Yo.
but in this case, it's only Robin. Jordan, however, has been suggested by references like Steiner Math and Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. You are something of a longtime fan yourself.
Yeah, I've been paying attention to wrestling since I watched it with my dad on Saturday mornings back in the day. Like, I guess I probably would have started paying attention sort of 1984 or 5. So I'm there for like WrestleMania 1, probably, kind of around there. And we would rent things on VHS, so you'd get all the Royal Rumbles when they came out. We weren't like a pay-per-view family. We were renting stuff 2 months afterwards.
Sure.
But at the same time, we didn't get a lot of WCW, so I'm kind of watching Brian Zane recap that, and kind of interesting to watch that happen. Good to see him in ROH too.
Brian Zane is great. He is just a brilliant content creator in the wrestling niche. But man, you've just taken me back. I mean, like VHSs, those were my jam as well. Like I didn't really record. Like I was too young, but I had an older brother who would go out and he would always come back with the VHSs and That would always be a blast. I remember one time, like purely anecdotal, I wasn't a pay-per-view family as well, but like, you know, back then you could watch, you could go to the pay-per-view channel and it would be all scrambled signal and everything, right?
Yeah.
I remember putting on King of the Ring 1998 and it was the Hell in a Cell match between Undertaker and Mankind. And I was like, oh my God, the scramble, that was so crazy. It made it look like he threw Mankind off of the Hell in a Cell, but that wouldn't happen. That's impossible.
Yeah, man, it's weird. I don't know. Like, did growing up, did you have influence from your brother, from your dad watching wrestling?
Not so much my dad, but absolutely my brother. Like, I mean, I don't remember a time when I wasn't a wrestling fan. I'm sure like it's indoctrination. It's like embedded into like the finer coating of my brain, my neuron patterns or whatnot. But yeah, like I do not remember a time. And a lot of that is attributed to watching with my brother. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like in our family, dad, he would cheer for two groups of people. He would cheer for the heels. Like he's a big Eddie Guerrero fan to this day. He's a Ric Flair fan. He's a big fan of the Taker, like the original, you know, zombie Taker back in the day. But in addition to that, he would cheer for the stiff of the week, like the guy who was the underneath guy who was never going to win a match. And he got beat every week on Superstars or Main Event or whatever it was. so, like, inevitably, when Rugged Ronnie Garvin wins a match or, like, Iron Mike Sharp finally gets one or the Brooklyn Brawler, for God's sake, Steve Lombardi, when he gets one, it's just like, hey!
You did the thing. You finally did it. back to Robin, I understand it's very little experience in the wrestling fandom.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that like anyone in my parents didn't necessarily care for it. But it was still like I grew up in the 80s, so it was still very much part of like the pop culture just sort of feeling of things because a lot of the WWF, I still remember like almost being a toddler and seeing an old match, don't even know what it was because I was a freaking toddler. but someone being carted off of the ring covered in blood, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, wow, that's terrifying. And then of course, like, had the other stuff too that like it was where it was really heavily marketing to kids, like the Hulk Hogan animated series. I don't think I had any male friend at the time who didn't have one of those Tonka wrestling buddies, the plush toys.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of that. And then, you know, that was sort of like the big push of late 80s, early 90s, wrestling stuff. And then nothing usually until about high school when I started learning about, you know, like China. And of course everyone was going on about Bret the Hitman Hart at the time as well. I think, and then close to the death, unfortunately, of the Hart and
Owen Hart,
which was I know a lot of people that took that pretty hard because it was such a
absolutely sad time.
And then of course like then nothing, and then I meet this dude who
We're in Montreal.
We're in Ottawa. This is Ottawa.
It's about the time Bobby Roode's debuting for NXT, and Gargano and Ciampa are doing the series of, the glorious vignettes, like glorious bombs.
Oh yeah, those are.
So I was trying to explain, like, okay, first of all, you need to understand this is the best professional wrestling entrance that's ever existed. Bobby Roode with the glorious and the pedestal that's coming down, and the fact that the other people backstage are just not taking it seriously at all. It's just like, it's amazing.
Glorious, that entrance was just something special. I don't know if he's still doing it because I think he's in a tag team with Dolph Ziggler, but man, Glorious was too good for the wrestling scene.
Damn, man. Tag teaming with Ziggler is kind of a demotion, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, they don't treat the tag team division seriously, which is a shame because that's one of my first memories of professional wrestling. Like we talked about Bret Hart, like the Hart Foundation, like that's what I first remember. That's what I first remember starting to see. I loved a good one-on-one. I loved watching Hogan, Savage, and everyone back in the glory days. But man, give me a good tag team match. To this day, this is true. Yeah. And I am happy. And it's unfortunate that the WWE doesn't treat it with such esteem.
I might have been like a Strike Force fan, I think.
Strike Force, there's a name. All the same, I mean, we are not watching anything from the glory days on today's episode. We're going to be watching something a little bit more recent. It's actually, we habitually watch independent wrestling matches on the Smark and Friends podcast, but I feel like it especially resonates with the craft beer scene. So we're going to just lean into it and we're going to watch some more indie wrestling. So this match actually comes from your province. This comes from Alpha One Wrestling out of Hamilton, Ontario. And it is a face-off between two wrestlers of a very similar quick-paced wrestling style. But in personality, these two could not be any more different. In one corner, he's a martial artist, specifically Taekwondo, known for lethal kicks and strikes from right here in Montreal, Speedball Mike Bailey, one of my personal favorites. You can't go wrong with a speedball match. And his opponent, he's also known to enjoy a beer or two, and you know that's exactly what you do when you're the walking personification of all things heavy metal. Introducing, I say this in all caps, Warhorse. And if any, you know Warhorse?
Yeah.
Okay, glad to hear that. Yeah, absolutely, this is a Warhorse friendly show. If anyone wants to watch this match with us at home while you're listening to this podcast, and I hope you do, you can find it on the official Alpha One Wrestling YouTube channel. Free match, Warhorse versus Speedball Mike Bailey. Go ahead and pause this podcast and come back to us. Are you ready? Good. We're going to click play on go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Wow, I wonder which one's Warhorse here. I think it's the guy.
The denim vest is a bit of a giveaway, certainly.
Yeah.
You gotta love the gear. I mean, look at the boots on that with the bleached skull.
Oh yeah, like Warhorse is no slouch when it comes to his visual presentation. Like, I don't know if you followed him before, like he became the Warhorse that we all know and love now, Jordan. But like before this, like he was just like, you know, plain trunks and boots kind of wrestler, certainly talented. But then like he got his lip ripped open on a turnbuckle and just like transformed into this heavy metal god known as Warhorse.
I love the showmanship here.
Oh, yeah.
Is it similar to like the Danhausen story where like they're working, they're getting booked, but then until they get the gimmick, it's not really a thing?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And funny enough, Warhorse and Danhausen really gravitated to one another too. Like they've gotten like a whole bunch of great online content, be it YouTube or just like Twitter interactions and the whole kit and caboodle. Like Warhorse, again, this big all caps character, only tweets in caps, just yells at everyone. And then Danhausen, who's just this weird monster, very evil, likes collecting teeth, and really loves The Simpsons. And
but like it's, he's extremely polite.
Like, my kind of guy.
Nice but evil.
Very nice, but evil. Very man. Evil.
Kind of like the evil minion Hecubus, like the Dave Foley character.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
There's a deep cut from the recesses of my mind.
That's kind of what we do on the Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the podcast.
Yes, Master, well, I serve only you and Satan.
Would that specifically be New Kids, or would that be something else?
That's New Kids.
Okay. Crowd is very split between Speedball and Mike Bailey. Like, they're both fan favorites, but, you know, it's a wrestling match. It's going to be one winner, one loser. This is for the IWTV Championship. I was saying to Jordan before we went on air, Independent Wrestling TV, it's an online streaming provider for wrestling content. They work with a lot of promotions. And the brilliant thing they did was they created a championship that they would give to, well, they would award through these work fights to their top star. And their top star would go to all these promotions that are on their network. It was just brilliant marketing.
And how long ago was this?
This one, I believe, is from 2019. I usually am diligent about the dates, but oops. So Speedball wants a handshake, and Warhorse wants to be hit in the face.
It's an important inversion of the show of respect trope. It's,
yeah.
I mean, a hit to the face is kind of a show of respect for a man like Warhorse. Mike Bailey reaching out the hand. I think they've come to a consensus. Warhorse has agreed to shake his hand if Mike Bailey will hit him in the face right after.
Apparently there was a discussion of hugs that we missed here.
Oh, yes,
Warhorse the crowd has never hugged anyone.
Oh!
Oh!
trading forearms back and forth.
Oh, yeah. We got a hockey fight happening right now.
That's oops, all forearms. Wow, that's just...
They're trying to drop the yay boo spot, but it's too early in the match.
Yeah, they're just like skipping the whole like build up to that. They just want to... They're just going for it. Funny enough, this is... They are still going. There we go. Speedball with a series.
Okay.
Headlock pushed into the ropes. Now we're getting some wrestling. Collision in the ring. Nobody gives. No one falls.
Warhorse unmoved by the shoulder block.
Yeah. Whoa.
Big cartwheel by Bailey.
Big cartwheel.
Leapfrog.
Oh.
Oh, there's a kick. Right in the heart.
Right to the solar plexus. Jordan, you have a good voice for this. Have you ever considered calling a professional wrestling match?
Not since Monsoon died, no.
Those are big shoes to fill, my friend.
Absolutely. You got to aim higher. What's the point? Warhorse with the steel plate in his forehead. Not at all fazed by the...
Now he's headbanging the turnbuckle. Oh, now it's Bailey's turn to go headfirst into the turnbuckle. 8, 9. Another tried and tested and true trope of professional wrestling. Smashing heads into the turnbuckle 10 times. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
The running bulldog transitioned into the headbutt in the corner.
Yeah, Warhorse put a nice little spin on that.
Oh.
Oh.
Northern Lights suplex, is that what that is?
Yes, it is. And a beautiful one, if I do say so myself, if you happen to be listening, Mr. Warhorse. Now, here we go.
Oh, he's getting ready. He's kicking up some dust, getting ready to go.
Yeah, he's getting ready to fly. Oh, but Bailey's back in.
Oh, missed. Oh, no. Oh.
Oh.
Bailey with a big boot to the head. 1, 2. Oh, not even a 2 count.
Oh.
Oh.
Right at the
big knee drop.
Yeah.
Robin, one thing I kind of take for granted on this show, I'm always guilty of this, is I never really check in with my guests if they know the rules of professional wrestling. Do you know how a win is established or whatnot?
Pin their shoulders for 10 seconds, yeah, or 3 seconds or whatever it is. Three.
Bingo,
that's
exactly. Yeah. That's the big one. I always like am speaking as if like everyone just has watched wrestling as you know, for a while. So please pardon me if I do so.
No, I got it. It's all good. But yeah, this is...
Oh.
Big double knees. Once again, Bailey's going for the cover. Bailey's starting to get frustrated. Crowd is starting to favor
by the way he tussled, the way he does his hair, frustrated.
It was certainly a frustrated hair tussling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. Knife edge chops.
You could hear those.
I like that Warhorse is very much like playing the role of like a dude who just like is really into pain and loves it.
It suits him very well.
Yeah. Ooh.
He wants more. He wants another big chop. But Bailey's going back to the forearms.
Oh, and we're back to forearms here.
This is not going to be as long as the opening sequence. This is just striking back and forth, and who's going to give first?
Okay, I know what, I do appreciate that it went from like arms to face and just slapping each other's chests.
These are some more huge tropes in wrestling. Once you get have something that makes as much sound as a knife edge chop to the chest, like, you know, you got to make sure everyone hears it.
Oh.
Beautiful drop kick.
Missile drop kick.
We are roughly halfway through the match. I'm wondering who you all are picking for the winner of this contest.
Rolling German suplexes. It is Canada, yeah. So I'm going with Mike Bailey.
I'd like to say Warhorse, but I think Mike Bailey's probably going to win this one.
Okay. Either way, I think both are very promising winners.
This is a lot of fun, for sure.
Keep switching the wrist locks or the waist locks.
But it sounds like the crowd has been going towards Warhorse though. But
yeah, they're starting to favor the larger of the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Not that's that interesting. There's not like a traditional role here for either of them. I mean, you've got the hometown Canadian, but it doesn't seem like there's a bad guy, really.
No, exactly. Yeah, and like at the very beginning of the match, like it was dueling chants. Let's go Speedball. Let's go Warhorse. Oh man, Speedball. He's like such a beloved Canadian wrestler. He unfortunately got pinched at the border like 5 years ago, and he trying to work without a visa, so he was actually banned from working in the States for about 5 years. That recently expired, and of course, you know, the wrestling scene's starting to wake up again, and we're, you know, everyone's very excited to see what Speedball can do stateside.
A lot of opportunity down there at the moment, so
yeah,
absolutely. There are rumors he's heading to one of the bigger federations, but right now they're just rumors, so.
I'd like to see somebody work a martial arts gimmick in NXT. That'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, Speedball could probably make that work. Oh,
Warhorse looking kicks. Tired.
Keeps ducking the kicks, but misses. Couldn't duck that one. Speedball sizing him up. What's he going to do now?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, he's cut the leg. Will he go for the end?
He's got the leg. Oh.
No, Enziguri.
Straight back to the knife edge chops.
Their chests are just going to be beat red after this.
Could be worse. Could be Valter.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Valter has taken on Speedball. That's a match I've yet to watch yet, but I'm sure it's going to be brutal. We've watched Speedball matches on the podcast. We've watched Valter matches on this podcast as well. I think it's time I'm going to have to move over to Valter versus Speedball at some point. These guys are just wailing on each other.
Oh, now the headbutts.
Lots of strikes between these two.
Yeah.
Shades of the Texas Tornado.
Oh, wow. The flurry of kicks.
Shades of Steve Blackman.
I like to think shades of Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat myself.
Not bad. Warhorse with the wacky line back into the match.
The wacky line. Yeah. So both men are down. This is going to institute a 10 count. If neither men can answer it by getting back to their feet, this is going to be ruled a no contest draw. And as a result, Warhorse will retain the IWTV Championship. Champion's advantage.
Oh, wait, it's 2019, so even if, yeah, Bailey can't win because he can't take the championship to other promotions.
Smart thinking. Booking.
Who's got the pencil?
Well, they've got a handful of promotions in Canada. He could at least do a couple defenses.
Okay.
But Speedball drags him out of the ring.
Tope Suicida!
Throws him back in the ring, and Warhorse counters.
Oh, Mamma Mia.
Dueling Tope Suicidas. Holy shit, Chance.
Yeah, I appreciate the chant there.
Big double stomp by Warhorse. Rolls Bailey back into the ring, but Bailey is back up. Boom.
Oh.
Triangle moonsault to the outside. Jordan, do you follow New Japan or anything outside of the stateside?
A little bit, but mostly because of the Bullet Club situation.
Sure. Yeah. Big shades of Kota Ibushi with that triangle moonsault.
Absolutely.
Bailey to the top rope. Speedball. Warhorse fights him off.
Oh. Climbing up with him?
Yeah.
Going for the second rope, top rope superplex. All the way up top.
Whoa.
Going to hit the roof of the venue.
Yeah, it looked like there's some sound baffling up there. They might want to watch that.
Yeah.
But they clear it with a superplex. Oh. There is no comfortable way to land that maneuver. Whether
my
you're
back
taking
is starting
it or...
just thinking about it.
Oh, geez. Even when you're dishing it, like, how do you land? Warhorse going to the top rope.
Will he hit the flying nothing?
Looking for one of his finishing moves.
I think Speedball will move out of the way in the last minute. Oh, no. Okay, I was wrong. Happy to be wrong, but ooh, the side.
Another one of his signature maneuvers. Boom!
Oh.
Reversed. Standing C4.
I've not seen a lot of Warhorse matches, but that was some warrior level rope running on that. That was
absolutely. That really was.
He definitely has the ultimate warrior influence on the character.
Yeah, it's like half that, half Stan Lane, and a touch of Ace Frehley.
Yep. I think he's directly cited Kiss as like part of like his shtick. Big power slam. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a whole documentary about Warhorse that's available on YouTube.
Really?
Half and half. Yeah.
What is that? It's like a dragon suplex, but like with a half Nelson?
It kind of looked like a half Nelson suplex. Yeah, absolutely.
What a maneuver.
Yeah. That's always one, like, I remember first seeing that in a video game, and I'm like, there's no way people actually do that. There's no way. And here they are just dropping each other on their heads. But hey, they know how to do it safely, I think. Right now, Warhorse is sizing up Bailey.
I don't know who's on commentary, but that was a nice segue. The dragon,
I missed
dragon,
it.
That was very good.
Dragon, nice.
Setting up the power bomb.
Oh, reversal. Hurricanrana.
Oh. Sunset flip. Oh, that was the fastest.
And this.
Standing moonsault. Oh, standing double knee drop.
Yeah. I've got a pin, like a lapel pin of him doing that move.
The kick to the back of the head. Is that a Shining Wizard? Is that what that is?
It's more of like you hit him with the inside of your shin kind of thing.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
I love the names of these moves. They all sound like different, you know, varieties of weed. Shining moon.
There is definitely a market for that wrestling named cannabis. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think RVD's already doing it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he's selling CBD oils and rolling papers.
Yeah.
Oh, Ultima Weapon misses. Speedball went for his shooting star knee drop, but Warhorse caught him. Running powerbomb.
Two. Ah.
Cover the arms, you mook.
Amateur mistake. But they're fighting with everything they've got. This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Wait, which one's the immovable object? He's no Speedball.
That's a good point. Oh.
Standing lariat.
But here it comes again. The nonstop warrior rope running. And he hits it that time. Commentary called it inside out with that lariat.
Yeah.
Warhorse at the top. Double stop.
That's a double stop.
One, two, three.
There
okay, a Warhorse, yeah.
With a successful defense of the IWTV Championship, your winner, Warhorse.
Warhorse, that was wonderful.
I'm glad you liked it. Jordan, like you were familiar with Warhorse. What'd you think of Speedball?
He's good. He's for a guy with a lot of strike and knee-based offense. I'm not seeing a lot of actually thrown knees. There were some kicks. It's like more of a Sabate Taekwondo thing, as you mentioned. It's interesting. Like I've never seen the shooting star double knee.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an interesting innovation. I got to imagine there are not a huge number of people who are real willing to take that.
You know, the indie scene is full of people who are just like trying to get make their clips go viral. I think they'll take just about anything. I mean, recently there was this stunt that went viral of one wrestler like power bombing another off the apron through a couple chairs, and everyone's like, "Oh, you did that in front of 30 people," but like the clip has something like 250,000 views right now. So, you know, the business is changing.
Absolutely, that point. They should just. All I know is you stay away from the edge of the ring, because that is the hardest part of the ring. That's all.
The hardest. Yeah, I always hear that, but I always think, aren't the posts made of steel? But
hey, man. It's just a trope. Just roll with it.
Robin, having enjoyed a professional wrestling contest, will you be enjoying more in the near future?
I think I will. That was actually pretty fun. I love the different personalities at work there. Warhorse was definitely fun.
Like I've been telling her for a while, if she likes Warhorse, she's going to like PCO. PCO is so much your guy.
I think we've talked about this, Jordan, but it's just like, with some of the more mainstream stuff, particularly with wrestling, it feels like entering into this story that is years and years and years in the progress. Like it's a bit intimidating on that level. It feels like almost entering a show when it hits like season 15.
Sure. You know? Yeah. All you need to know about PCO is that he's an unkillable French Canadian Frankenstein.
Okay.
He used to be a Mountie too.
He's very much your guy.
And if I may segue, you can catch my interview with PCO from last year. He was our Halloween special.
Oh, nice.
Right here on Smark and Friends. That's for everyone at home and everyone in studio who wants to check that out.
Yeah, I want to listen to that. So.
Again, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me on today's podcast. Please, before I let you go, let the audience know where they can catch the podcast, and as well as like your... You know, you have a whole catalog of written works regarding beer and the subject thereof. Let us know all that. Let us know where we can follow you on social media. Floor is yours.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to our podcast, the Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the podcast, go to OntarioCraftBeerGuide.com. All our episodes are up there. I think we've hit over 100. We've been doing it officially for 2 years now, actually.
And it's all through the pandemic, so it feels like just forever. Like we've just been doing it forever.
Yeah, and we do it every week. Every Tuesday is when an episode drops.
Hey, what time do you want to do that tomorrow? What time tomorrow?
Tomorrow's
Tuesday. What time tomorrow?
I'm good for one.
Okay, one o'clock it is. Okay.
1 o'clock it is, yeah.
Impromptu production meeting right here on Smark and Friends.
Hey, man, you got to use the space.
Yeah, all yours.
For our books, I mean, it's the Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the second edition. It's pretty old by now, but it's still pretty fun. You can find it where a lot of good books and a lot of bad books are sold.
And frankly, by now, where a lot of used books are sold.
Where a lot of used books are sold, probably, too. Yeah, and in terms of social media, Twitter's usually the best bet for both of us. So I think, I'm at The Thirsty Wench. That's my Twitter handle, and Jordan is Saints_Gambit.
That's absolutely right. I find that for beer reviews and stuff, I'm actually more on Instagram, Jordan.St. John. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a school, you know, so if you find yourself in Ontario and you're a wrestling fan who wants to learn more about beer, we will absolutely give you the Lanny Poffo treatment on that.
I love how you peppered in those references, like, all night, man. Just seamless.
He's really good at that.
Once again, thank you both. Robin LeBlanc, Jordan St. John, the Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on tonight's episode of Smark and Friends. We enjoyed Speedball Mike Bailey taking on the one and only Warhorse from Alpha One Wrestling out of Hamilton. If you enjoyed the banter but didn't quite watch the match with us, please do so. Speedball has been good for so long, and the more people who enjoy his work, the better. He is too good. He is too good. He is too good. And of course, especially if you enjoy good Canadian beer, then Robin and Jordan's content is the content you need to be checking out. The Ontario Craft Beer Guide, the podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course their website, OntarioCraftBeerGuide.com. And if you like this episode of Smark and Friends, then I invite you to head back down our catalog and check out this episode. It's called The Grapes and the Graps. I spoke to Maroki Tong of the 9 Ounces Please Wine blog, which I suppose makes tonight's episode the second of an unofficial two-parter pertaining to adult beverages. I'm going to roll with it. Please follow us on social media. You can follow me on Instagram at smark.mouth. You can follow the show on Twitter at smarkandfriends. And you can follow the Two Finger Guns Club on Facebook. This will cover all of TFGC's amazing content, Smark and Friends, Rocket Man Explorers, Foul Mouth, the whole kit and caboodle. Thanks for watching Wrestling with Robin, Jordan, and I. We're going to be back next week. Till then, friends.
This has been a Two Finger Guns Club production. Pew, pew.